Today's Bible reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 to 40. Verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Did the word of God originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Jessica. I feel I've picked the wrong week to have a shorter sermon, but if you all have lots of questions after, you can still keep chatting about it, and I'm happy to chat about it as well. Okay, let's pray before we look at God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son to give of its life, Lord. There's no greater sacrifice, Lord. You show us what love is, Lord, a willing sacrifice for the sake of others. We pray, Lord, that we can learn to love one another. And we ask for your Spirit to help us so that we can build one another up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've got spiritual gifts, prophecy, tongues, and we've got women being silent in church, two hot topics, and a short sermon. So, yep, anyway, okay. So I can't possibly cover it adequately, but there's a lifetime to keep talking. Anyway, let's get the structure right. So 1 Corinthians 14, the structure is there. Verse 26 gives us the principle, which we see in chapter 14 has been throughout, which is we gather to church, not just to worship God, but to build one another up. So we are here to encourage, to support, to care, to spur one another towards love and good deeds. So that's the big principle. Let all things be done for building one another up. So that's the big principle in verse 26. So if we want to be loving, we want to build one another up, how does that apply specifically with regards to the gift of speaking in tongues and prophecy? So that's verses 27 to 28, verses tongues, then prophecy, verses 29 to 35. So if we are loving the people in front of us, around us, then we will exercise our gifts in a certain way, the way of love. So he gives some guidelines as to how to go about it. After that, in verses 36 to 38, Paul gives, says that he is an apostle to the Gentiles. So God has called him and commissioned him. This he's speaking not just as an ordinary church member or whoever. The things that he's saying is a command from the Lord. So he's just affirming his authority to tell them these guidelines, and so they are to take it seriously. And he puts it there as well because in the Corinthian church, there was a lot of division. There was also people who didn't recognize his authority as an apostle. So that's there in verses 36 to 38. And then we go to verses 39 and 40, which is his concluding statement. So we know that it's all related. So when we come to women being silent, it's not like he's talking about a different topic. He's talking about the topic. So the context is tongues, prophecy, and orderly worship, doing things in a loving way that builds one another up. So we see his concluding statement about tongues, prophecy, and orderly worship. So if you get that framework, then we have to interpret the verses based on that. Okay, let's jump into the passage. To build one another up, we've got to operate in a loving way, and so he gives guidelines as to how to, if we want to exercise the gift of speaking in tongues, what are those guidelines? So I read verse 27, if you have your Bible, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Verse 28. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. So the loving way to use the gift of tongues is don't overdo it. Verse 2 or 3 at most. 2. Not be chaotic and everyone speaking in service at the same time. 1 at a time. And someone needs to interpret. If no one understands what is being said, it won't build another person up. So if that's the case, exercise loving self-control and don't speak. So that's tongues. Then he goes on to give the guidelines for prophecy. Verses 29 to 31. 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Verse 30. If a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. Verse 31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So again, 2 or 3 people prophesying. 2, weighing what is said and taking turns. I say taking turns because if someone else, if God reveals someone a word to someone who's seated, then the person up front can stop and he can come forward and say something he can give the prophecy. So it's not chaotic, basically. Take turns. So what is prophecy? Wayne Grudem, he defines prophecy as telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. We see this spontaneous element in verse 30. I read verse 30. If a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. So it's not like the person has come prepared. He's sitting down and God brings a message or a vision or something to him, and then the first speaker stops, he gets up and he shares that. So it's a spontaneous element. It's different from a pre-prepared message or teaching or things like that. The other thing to note is that the person who prophesies is in control. It's not like he's in some kind of trance or he's out of control. If a revelation comes to the person who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. So he has total control of what's happening. He can start, he can stop. And that's what verse 32 means. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. It's not an uncontrollable thing. He's in full control. He can start, he can stop. We can take turns. It's not chaotic, it's not disorderly. Chapter 14, verse 3 tells us the purpose of prophecy. What's the point of prophecy? Chapter 14, verse 3. To build up, to encourage, to console. Okay, so that's prophecy. But prophecy in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, doesn't carry the same weight as Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. So to disobey Scripture is to disobey God. So Scripture is at this level. It's God's exact, precise, direct word. Where else we don't have to obey prophecies? In 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, it gives us this instruction. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So, prophecy is not Scripture. We are to test prophecy. That means when a person gives a prophecy, it's not God's. It doesn't carry the weight when someone reads Scripture or when we go to the Bible. It's a different kind of a gifting. So when someone gives a prophecy, we hold on to what is good. We reject what is not good. We won't do that with the Bible. Like with the Bible, we accept all Scripture as God-breathed. The whole thing is authoritative, but prophecy is not. So it doesn't carry the same authority, the same weight as Scripture. Scripture's up there, prophecy is down here. Okay, what are the dangers? What are the dangers of prophecy? People make mistakes. They can be totally wrong. They can be partially wrong. Pastor John Piper, he gives this example. A person told him that, so his wife was pregnant, the person came and said that the wife would die when she gave birth, and the baby would be a girl. He was very not at peace about what the person said, and he felt it was wrong. He didn't tell his wife anything, he just kept it to himself, and the wife gave birth. It was a boy. So, totally wrong. The wife didn't die in childbirth, she's alive. So, with prophecy, the person makes mistakes. They can be totally wrong, they can have ulterior motives. You've got all this human error involved with it. So that's one of the dangers. Two, the prophecy can be true, but we need to know how to interpret it, and we need wisdom to know how it applies. In Acts 21, the prophet Agabus takes Paul's belt and he ties it, and he says, this is what's going to happen to the person whose belt this is. You're going to be bound. So the prophecy was a warning about what's going to happen to Paul in the future. The people who heard the prophecy begged Paul, said, don't go to Jerusalem. It's dangerous. This is what's going to happen to you. But Paul said, I'm willing to die for the gospel. And he went ahead. So there is the prophecy, but there's also the wisdom in knowing how to interpret it and how it applies. So that's the other thing to bear in mind. Acts 16, Paul has a vision at night, the man from Macedonia urging him to come and help them. So he's got this vision, what does he do about it? He has to wisdom, he needs to decide what to do. He concludes that God had called them to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. So that's what he does. So, so that's the second danger. Third, the Bible is supreme, and God has given us the sure words that are from Him. So we should be reading Scripture, we should be delighting in Scripture, that's the thing. So the third danger is when we run after prophets and prophecies and don't realize that, hang on, all that we need for life and godliness is in this book. So let's rely on the clear instruction God has given us, rather than the subjective things that are a bit uncertain. So that's the third danger. Okay, what are the safeguards? If we know these are the dangers, what are the safeguards? So verse 29 says, to weigh carefully what is said. So when we listen to prophecy, we should be discerning. We need to see if there's anything that contradicts the Bible. If it contradicts the Bible, you know that the prophecy is wrong. So we need to know our Bible in the first place to test what it says. Is it in line with Scripture? One. Two, we need to keep what is good and reject what is bad. Because of the human element involved, people make mistakes. It can be partly right, partly wrong. So we need to be discerning. Three, the purpose of prophecy is to build, to encourage, to console. So the word that is given, does it meet those purposes? Is it building up? Is it encouraging? Is it consoling? If it's not, then perhaps it's wrong and we reject it. The person who's prophesying shouldn't think that they are this infallible person and say, thus says the Lord, you are going to do this. Like, it's not like that. In the Old Testament, those prophets spoke and the words came to pass, and it was when the prophet spoke and it became scripture, it carries a different weightage to this kind of prophecies. So we shouldn't say things like that. We shouldn't force upon people what we think God is saying, because we could be wrong. So how we offer the prophecy as a gift. We're talking about spiritual gifts, so the prophecy is a gift. And when you offer a person a gift, they have the right to reject it. They have the right to accept it. It's up to them. Don't force it on any person. It's a gift. Okay, so prophecy is subjective, isn't it? There's a lot of human error involved. How do you know? So why bother at all? Why bother about prophecy? Because the Bible teaches us that. What's the whole passage in 1 Corinthians 14 about? Paul is saying, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. So it is a blessing that can build people up. Pastor John Piper gives an example of a time when he was preaching, and he was preaching about small groups at church, and he mentioned, I think you can start a small group among your friends, you can start a small group among Christians, you can even start a small group with the people in your workplace. And he gave a specific example, I can't remember the specific example, like floor number 31 in the building, some name of some building. After the service, this lady approaches him and says, this week I was praying about whether to start a small group. I am on floor 31 in this building. How did you know? I mean, he doesn't know. How would he know? He doesn't know. But it was a way that God encouraged this lady, that the idea that her desire of wanting to start a small group was the right thing. Go for it. So he encouraged her. And so he said, so what he told the lady was, that is a gift from the Lord for you. So we don't force things upon people, but it can be encouraging. Secondly, the gift of prophecy builds up the church. In chapter 14, verse 20 to 25, prophecy is a sign for believers. What kind of sign? So they were thinking tongues is a sign that they are spiritual people, they're mature, and they're speaking in tongues and doing all these things. Paul says, hang on, no, tongues is not the sign. It is prophecy. And what kind of sign? So it's a sign that says that God is at work among his people. And he gives the example of when an unbeliever comes into the service, someone prophesies, and the secrets of his heart are exposed. He's convicted of his sin. He falls on his face and worships God. That's a way of saying he repents and puts his trust in Jesus. The church is built up. But notice the way he says it. He says that the unbeliever falls on his face to worship God, and he says, God is really among you. So it's a sign of God's Spirit at work as people prophesy and are convicted of sin. So yes, it is subjective. Yes, there are dangers. But if we are secure and we are grounded in God's Word, if we know the truth clearly, then we won't be easily swayed and led astray, and we won't run after these more spectacular things, because we have God's Word, which is the foundation, which is crucial. So how do we apply all this? That's the hard part, isn't it? The theory is easy, but the hard part, I find it a hard part because, okay, so what do we do with this? I'm not sure. Like, what do we do with all this? Yeah. Anyway, I guess to be open but cautious. Don Carson has this approach. He says he's not a cessationalist. He doesn't believe the gifts end, but he says we should be open, but we should be cautious. So maybe that's how we apply it. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you give different gifts to build your church, and this is, yeah, your wisdom and your doing. We pray, Lord, Father, for us to be open. Lord, we know that you are alive and you speak. We pray, Lord, that we would, be open to your Spirit's work in however you would choose to speak to us, Lord. Father, we also pray that we won't run after these things, but we will be grounded in your word, and we can tell truth from error and live lives based on the Bible. So we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll invite Sarah up to share about her Mori mission. Thanks, Sarah.